Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Beautiful. Today I'm going to speak to you on a word called God of the New. God of the New. So as you take your seat, I want you to turn to somebody next to you and say, are you ready for something new? Awesome. Some people were talking about getting ready for something new. Now we're talking about dinner, and now we're talking about what we're doing this afternoon. I know how it happens. I'm going to take you to a passage of scripture that's about a woman called Hannah and her struggle to step into the new thing, or her waiting, her time of waiting for the new thing to be released in her life. And we're going to pick this up from 1 Samuel and chapter 1. It says, now there was a certain man, his name was Elkanah. He was an Ephraimite, which means he came from the tribe of Ephraim. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. Now Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he'd give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. And although the Lord had closed her womb, and her rival, that's Peninnah, also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore Hannah wept, and she did not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord, and Hannah was in bitterness of soul. And so she prayed to the Lord, and she wept in anguish. Then she made a vow, and she said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, but only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. But Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I've spoken until now. And then Eli answered, and he said, Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him. And Hannah said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Hannah's experiencing something that carried great stigma and shame in her culture and in her time, and that was that she was not able to have children. And the term that they would use for that is barrenness, or to be barren. Now, the experience of Hannah in her barrenness and her desperate contention for a child was a prophetic picture of the spiritual state of the nation of Israel where she lived. You see, Israel was also barren. It was spiritually barren. It was at a spiritual low point. The priesthood was corrupt. The things were happening in the temple that were irreverent and disrespectful. That's why when Hannah was praying like she was, Eli thought she was drunk, because there was an expectation about some of the behaviors that were happening in the temple. The Ark of the Covenant was not kept at the tabernacle at that time. The place of God's presence was not located in the temple. Idolatry was being practiced. They were in this spiritually barren season, and they were in desperate need as a nation for something new to break through and revive them back to life again and to bring them back to God. And so the birth of Hannah's son Samuel, after years of barrenness, while it was a miraculous blessing for Hannah and for Elkanah, it also marked this breaking through of a new season for the nation. Because after years of spiritual barrenness, as Samuel rose to be a prophet in that nation, he brought this godly influence. He anointed King David, and together they returned that nation back to lean their heart back into God, to put away their idols, and to bring honor in the temple. Praise God for how he turns things around, right? So you see, Samuel's birth didn't just change this one family's future, it actually changed the whole nation's future. But notice where God began. Notice how he began to outwork this. Before there was a new season for that nation, there was first a new work that happened in Hannah. Before God transformed Israel, he transformed her story. And that's often the pattern, right? That when God wants to do a new thing through us, he always begins by doing a new thing in us first. However, what often happens in a barren season is we tend to respond in a way that means we miss the new thing or the work that God wants to do, because we get stuck waiting for the breakthrough. We get stuck waiting for the freedom. We get stuck in the old season, unable to move on, feeling weary and unfruitful and wondering if anything is ever going to change. Who's ever been in a season like that before? Amen. So just as Hannah was stuck in this barren season, there are seasons that we can find ourselves stuck in where we are spiritually barren. Maybe today you're here and you've been believing for a breakthrough, and as you pray, it feels like your prayers are just hitting that ceiling, that nothing's shifting, nothing's moving. Maybe you've discovered that your passion for God isn't quite what it used to be. Maybe you've settled into just simply surviving. Maybe you're just going through the motions instead of expecting God to do something new. And that's exactly where Hannah found herself. Year after year, nothing changed. Year in, year out, she would come to the temple without a child again. Year in, year out, she would bring her offering. Year in, year out, she would pray. Year in, year out, she would turn up. And Peninnah would ruthlessly criticize her. And she would come year in, year out, and still no child, no response, no breakthrough. Nothing was changing. But then suddenly there's a shift. But then suddenly God intervenes. Suddenly God breaks through her barrenness and brings new life. And you see, Hannah's breakthrough wasn't just the answer to a personal prayer. It actually reveals something about the heart of God. That God is a God who brings life where there has been barrenness. He brings hope where there's been disappointment. He brings new beginnings when people feel stuck. You see, while Hannah's miracle was physical, it points us to a spiritual reality that God is the God of the new, that his intention is never for you to be stuck and to be held back or restrained in some kind of holding pattern, waiting for things to change and shift, but rather his desire is to bring you to land into his purposes. That is God's plan and purpose for your life. And we see this frequently throughout scripture, don't we? That God talks about frequently how he desires to do something new. In Isaiah 43:19, he says, "Behold, I'm going to do something new. See, I've already begun." In Lamentations 3, he talks about how his mercies are new every morning. In Luke 5, Jesus explains to us that we are the new wineskin and we have to be made new so we can hold the new wine. He's definitely wanting to do something new. He says that because Christ, just as Christ was raised from the dead, we walk in newness of life. If anyone's in Christ, they are a new creation. That when Jesus sacrificed himself, he created a new and living way for us to enter into the holiest of holies. And Revelation 21:5 says, God says, "Behold, I make all things new." God is the God of the new. We can, without question, he is the God who desires to do and bring about new things in the lives of his people. That is without question. But the question is whether we are willing, like Hannah, to seek him until he does. If we're willing, like Hannah, to seek him until he does. Who knows, when you're in a season of challenge, when you're in a season of constantly praying and not seeing the breakthrough come, to keep showing up at church every single Sunday, to walk into the auditorium every single Sunday, to be believing for something and see the people around you get it, but you don't. Come on, that takes a perseverance that God requires of us. This is what Hannah's example tells us to today, that barren seasons will come, but the question, and God desires to bring something new, the question for us is, are we willing to keep on seeking him until we see the breakthrough? Or are we the kind of people who just say some kind of half-hearted prayer and then resort to accepting our barren season because it's just more comfortable, it's easier than having to keep show up, keep praying, keep believing, keep worshiping, keep honoring, keep celebrating, keep being grateful, keep doing all of those things until we see the breakthrough come? You see, it's an important question to ask. How are we going to respond to barren seasons? Because experiencing the barren season is not the danger. The danger is choosing to stay in that season. It's choosing to stay in that season when we're not willing to seek God, but rather we stay stuck. You see, being stuck in a barren season, it's like sitting in a prison with the door unlocked. You've become so accustomed to where you are that you've stopped expecting freedom. You've stopped expecting breakthrough. So how can we ensure we navigate these spiritually dry seasons well so that when we're ready to step into the new, when God reveals it to us? Well, the first is this. During a spiritually barren season, we must be intent on going deeper in our relationship with God, not weaker. Go deeper, not weaker. Okay, we need to go deeper, not weaker. You see, the writer, when we read the writings of Hebrews, we see that the writer writes to encourage the receivers of that letter because they were Jewish people who had converted to Christianity. They had given away everything that they were raised to believe so that they could follow Jesus. But from the moment they did that, they came under severe persecution. That there was a severe persecution against Christians at that time. And the writer of Hebrews writes to them to encourage them to endure the challenge, to stay in faith, even though they're in a barren season. And he says this in Hebrews 10:35. He says, "Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised." You see, he's exhorting them to endure and not to throw away their trust in the Lord. Now, this idea of throwing away confident trust implies something deliberate, okay? Something that's done voluntarily. Because you see, nothing can take away your trust in God. Let me say that again. Nothing can take away your trust in God. Your trust in him is yours to give and yours to retract. It's yours to give and it's yours to retract. When you are in a challenging time, when you are in a barren season, and we're not dismissing or negating the emotions and how it might feel, but your decision to trust in the Lord or not trust in the Lord is yours to make. What the writer of Hebrews is saying is that not trusting in God in a difficult season is your decision. The circumstances didn't create or make that decision. You made that decision. And so what I want to suggest to you today is that a barren season is not a reason to weaken your faith in the Lord or to withdraw your trust, but rather it's an invitation to go deeper. It's an invitation to go deeper in your relationship with God. You see, God desires to use spiritually dry seasons to bring depth to your relationship to God, not to weaken it. That God wants to use that season to bring strength to you, to bring a new depth of faith, to bring a new way of approaching God. God wants to use that season to cause you to go deeper. You see, what happens in a barren season is often we say things like, my prayer feels dry. Or when I read the word, it feels really ordinary. Or that I feel like I'm constantly in this space of waiting for breakthrough. But often what God is doing in that time, while we're waiting for God to bring that change to our circumstances, is that God is actually outworking a change in us. That he's outworking a change in us. You see, prayer might feel dry. It might feel empty. But in that season, what he's doing is he's teaching you so that your relationship would become rooted and grounded in faith rather than how you feel. That when you're reading scripture and it feels ordinary, but you keep returning to it day after day after day, then his word to you becomes less about chasing some kind of fresh insight and allowing the word to now shape your life. That when you are in this season of waiting for breakthrough, that instead, as you continually pray, you continue to show up, you continue to press in, you continue to believe, that in that delay, rather than becoming disappointed, you develop a dependence on God that draws you closer and closer to him. You see, a barren season is intended. God will always use that to cause you to go deeper in your relationship with him, not weaker. Come on, he wants to call you to go deeper, not weaker. You see, when it comes to a barren season, what often happens to people in those times, this is what the writer of Hebrews knew what was happening to those people who were under persecution. And I'm sure this was how Hannah would have reflected on her journey again and again, is that when we're in that barren season, we start to second guess what is happening because we're not yet seeing the reward for our labor. We're not seeing the answers to our prayers. We're not seeing the breakthrough, though we have been believing. This is often because we use worldly success as our measure of our performance in life. And so that kind of thinking means that when our pay packet looks good, when the kids are getting A's, when our significant other is happy, when life is going smoothly, then we feel like we're on the right track. But when we are facing seasons of barrenness, when we're battling an illness, we've got tension at home, we're grieving over the loss of a loved one, and we're on a diagnosis journey with our child, or we've lost our job, we can feel like Jesus is far away, that he's turned his back, and perhaps we should turn our back on him. But when we respond in that way, we've forgotten that earthly fruitfulness is seasonal, but faithfulness is continual. Come on, earthly fruitfulness is seasonal, but faithfulness is continual. When we start to second guess, we're forgetting that God has not called us to live a perfect life by the world's standards. Come on, he's not interested in your highlight reel. He's not even calling you to live a life of constantly getting ahead, but rather to live a life of faithfulness to God regardless of the season that you are in. Our senior pastor, Ken Lee, says it like this. He says, life is not a ladder to climb. It's about seasons to walk through. Okay, we're not trying to make our way to the top of the ladder. Our goal is to walk out our life in constant faithfulness and constant trust in the Lord. Come on, we need to be a church, and when we face a barren season, we don't throw that confident trust away, but we stay in it and we stay determined to allow God to transform us and change us in every season. You see, the measure of every season is not our success. It's our ability to continue to trust God in that season. We are to respond to barren seasons with a determination to go deeper, not weaker, to keep trusting and to keep coming to the Lord in faith. Another way that we can navigate spiritually dry seasons well, so that we're ready to step into the new, is that we can seek the reward of repentance. Now, when we look at the Israelites' relationship with God, we see a pattern of them going in the wrong direction. Who's read their Old Testament? And when you read about the Israelites, there's this constant pattern of them worshipping and praising God, and then next minute they're going in the wrong direction. And then God will send somebody. He'll send a prophet, he'll send a leader, he'll send a judge, he'll send somebody to come and talk to them and call them back. And in these instances, God always speaks about, through that prophet, he'll say, he'll call them back to repentance. He'll call them back to repent and restore them back into right relationship with him despite their unfaithfulness. And this is what happens with this prophet called Hosea. Now, Hosea was sent to the Israelite people because they were off doing their own thing. They had turned their back on God again. And he comes to them and he brings that word that God has given him, and he calls them to repentance. And he likens their refusal to repent like a child who resists being born. He says this in Hosea 13:13. He says, pains come to the people like the pain of childbirth, but they're like a child who resists being born. The moment of birth has arrived, but they stay in the womb. They refuse to come out. They refuse to step into their new season. You see, God desired to bring a new way. He desired to bring a new way, a new season to the Israelites, but their refusal to repent was delaying their ability to step into the new season. They were like this child refusing to be born, refusing to step into the new season. God laid it out for them and said, you've been unfaithful, come back to me, repent, lay your idols down, throw them away, change your life, and then we'll step into this new season together. But they refused. They were refusing to let go of the old and step into the new. You see, we can be dismissive. We can be so dismissive of these kinds of convictions that come from the Lord. We can be dismissive of our little indiscretions and our white lies, our careless words, our lack of restraint, our lack of resolve to stay in the plans and the purposes of God for our lives. But God is not dismissive. God is not dismissive. God's intention is to bring breakthrough and freedom into your life. God's intention is to bring you into a new season, but he won't if you're not ready to receive it, if you're refusing to move forward, if your maturity and sensitivity to the things of God are dull, you won't be able to walk in it or steward it well. You see, refusal to repent delays the new. You may not think that it's a big deal that you're refusing to take responsibility for that part you've played in that issue, or refusing to acknowledge that you retreat every time things get tough, or refusing to face the fact that you need to make some changes to apologize for the things you've done wrong. But that could be the very thing that's keeping you stuck in your barren season. That could be the very thing that is causing the delay. You see, you can't hold on to the old and expect to experience the new. You can't hold on to the old and expect to experience the new. God expects us to step up and allow him to do a transformative work in us so we can embrace the new thing that he wants to do. You know, when my children were younger, I used to be able to take them down to the playground back in the day, and they would love to play on this thing that I used to call monkey bars. I don't know what it's called now, maybe some kind of ninja warrior thing, since that's a thing that came out since then. But you know, when you are trying to move forward across the monkey bars, before you can move on to the next run, you've got to let go of the old one. You can't just hold on to the old one and think you're going to just naturally move forward. You have to let go to grab onto the next one. And so often when a child is hanging like this by one arm, this is where they bail, right? This is where it gets a bit scary, because I don't want to let go of the old. But God calls us to let go of the old. He calls us to repent of old ways and old things and lay them down so he can release us into the new. This is what God is calling us to do so that we can move forward. We have to let go of the old. You see, repentance of sin may be what is needed for you to move forward in your life, to move forward in the new thing God has for you. This is what the Bible says about Jesus and how he responds to our battle against sin. In John 3:17, it says that God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He talks about saving the world through him. This is what God is, or Jesus is all about. You see, this word save in the Greek is the word sozo, which means to heal, to restore, to be made whole. Sozo, or this word save in this scripture, is speaking of salvation, but it is also speaking of the ongoing healing and restoration that takes place in a life that is yielded to Jesus. You see, Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came to sozo you. He came to save you. And it's not just a one-off work. It's a continual work throughout your life that he will continue to restore and heal and sozo you over time. Now, if that's his MO, if that's his motivation, then every time you sense that need or that conviction to repent, he's not doing that to condemn you. Let's just settle that right now. He's not doing that to condemn you. He's doing it to restore you. You see, the revealing of your need for repentance is not an indication that you should retreat. It's an invitation to move forward. Okay? Every call to repentance is God's invitation into something new. God isn't trying to push you back. He's not trying to hold you back from stepping into the new thing that he has for you. He's actually calling you forwards. He's saying, come on, let go of the old. Let's step into the new together, because he has a new way for you. He has a new thing for you. You see, that prompting in your heart is an invitation to leave the old behind and step into the new. So when we navigate spiritually dry seasons, we need to go deeper, not weaker. We need to seek the reward of repentance, which is allowing God to transform us from the inside out. My last point is this, is that we must surrender our season. We must surrender our season. Come on, Ben, you can come and join me as we share the last point. You see, before Hannah had received the breakthrough in the barren season, she made a vow to God to surrender the new season to him. In 1 Samuel 1, it says that she made this vow, that she was looking ahead to the day that God would answer her prayer, and that he would cause her to bring a son into the world. And she offered that season. She offered that new life, that new way that he had for her, and she placed it back in God's hands. And she said, God, I surrender that season to you. Whatever it looks like, however it unfolds, I place that season in your hands, that you would take that season and do whatever you desire to do in that season. You see, that no matter what your season looks like, the best way to steward it is to surrender it and to place it in the hands of the one who can do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. We don't know what God wants to do in our new season. We may have plans, but without a doubt, what God desires to do is greater than we could expect and that we could plan. You see, in this scripture, in this account, Hannah wanted a son, but God wanted a prophet who was going to turn the whole nation back to God. What we read about in Genesis with Abraham, he too wanted a son. He wanted Isaac. But God wanted an Isaac that would birth a nation, that would bring about descendants after descendant after descendant that would then become God's people and represent him on the earth, that would number more than the stars, that would create a way for Jesus down the line to be born and brought into the world. You see, the Jews wanted a Messiah. In the New Testament, the Jews wanted a Messiah who was just going to save them from the Romans. But God wanted to send the Son, his only Son, that every person who called on his name could be saved. He was going to bring about the redemption of humanity, and they had whittled it down to just beating the Romans. You see, we can come in with a plan for our new season. We can have an idea of what we think it might look like, but God wants to do greater. God wants to do more than you could ask, you could think, or you could imagine. He wants to take his plan, his purpose in your life, transform you from the inside out so he can do something through you. So he can take the work that he's done in you and let it overflow and start to impact your family, start to impact your workplace, start to impact your community. Come on, he has a plan and a purpose that extends far beyond your family. Just as Hannah stood in that temple and prayed and cried out for Samuel, and God responded to bring a prophet that would transform the nation, God wants to do something in you so he can do something through you. He has a new thing. He has a new thing he wants to birth. He has a new thing he wants to bring through his people. So we're going to be the kind of people, we're not going to get weaker when things seem barren and dry. We're going to go deeper. Come on, we're going to be the kind of people who seek the reward of repentance. You say, God, come and change me. Come and transform me. We're going to be the kind of people who surrender our season, who yield it all to God, because he has a new thing. He has a new thing for you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.